Yes, everyone, what's going on? My name is Stephen Howson. We are back with another podcast over here on Stretford Paddock. Thank you guys for joining us. Hope everyone's coping all right today. Joined by Alex and joined by Dave. What's happening, lads? You all right?
All right, Steve. How are we doing?
Yeah, I'm good. How are you boys doing?
I'm all right, I guess, lads. Yeah, I'm all right. Hopefully this writing's going to disappear off Alex's face in a second. I don't know why it does that, and I don't know why you can't get it off just by clicking something, because that's really annoying, isn't it? How are you lot doing at home? Hope you're all right. We are in the middle of the lockdown, so we are having to do these via Skype. This is doing my head in why this hasn't gone now. Click on it. There you go. It's disappeared. It's still there. Who knows what's going on? Yeah, there we go. It's gone. Right. Hope you guys are doing all right at home. Thank you guys for tuning in. Make sure to like the video and subscribe if you guys are new around here. We might have some news. How about that?
News.
No one thought we'd have that when we woke up this morning, did they?
No.
Potentially
very good news. Now, it's not really breaking surprising news, is it? Because let's be honest, Jadon Sancho's been on or around United's radar for a while. But the news coming out today, Romano, who is someone that at the moment, when he speaks, you kind of have to listen, I think. We haven't quite got the here we go, but here's what he said. Let me just pull it up. Pull it up on this computer so I don't mess up the stream. And it was that United have been in contact with Jadon Sancho's agent for 2 months and are working on his contract. The coronavirus pandemic is making it hard to communicate with Borussia Dortmund, but United are confident. I don't understand what's complicated or making it difficult, unless they're just ill, the people that you have to speak to, because everyone should just be at home bashing FIFA. Dave, what do you make of this? Obviously, we saw quite a lot of Sancho in the academy, didn't we? So he's gone to Dortmund. He's took on a new level or 12 since he's been there. You see this one happening? And what sort of impact do you think it'd have on us if we did?
Do I see it happening? I really couldn't tell you, but do I want it to happen? Yeah, of course. Like you were saying, we've seen him in under-18 level for City playing against United, and he's probably the best position player I've seen play against us. He was in like the same team as Raheem Diaz and Foden. Foden looked good, but Sancho was just next level. And when the rumours were he was leaving City, I was just praying that we somehow got him. But obviously went to Dortmund, done unbelievable. And I just think he'd be perfect for us. You know, he could take on that number 7 shirt, and I think he'd be good with it because we hadn't had a decent number 7. And just the fact that we hadn't had a right-sided player for God knows how long. It just made the whole team balance more, and instead of everyone on the left-hand side, just the defenders marking the left-hand side for us, they'd be spread out so both sides could attack, and I just think it would be a better team all around.
Al, what do you reckon? Do you think there's any truth to this? You shared Dave's sentiment that it'd be an absolute belting signing?
Absolutely belting. I mean, we've needed a right-winger for God knows how. I don't think we've signed an actual right-winger since Valencia. That was about it, to be honest. So, you know, just having someone on that right hand side, I completely agree. Just straight away by adding, you've seen what's happened by adding a class player like Bruno into there. Everyone's got better because it just means that, I mean, we were so one dimension before. If you kind of shut down our left side, that was kind of it, you know, in games. And then if you sat back against us, we were dreadful. You now can't do that because we've got a lad that can shoot from distance and we can put some quality balls in Bruno. Now, you add someone on that right-hand side. Now you've got someone out on the right. You've got Marcus out on the left. You've got Bruno through the middle. You've got Pogba potentially through the middle. You've still got Martial. You know, we can score goals in different ways then, which is absolutely right. And, you know, Fabrizio Romano, you know, I don't think he had the best of summers and things, but January was spot on with absolutely everything. When he got anything he said was bang on. So, I mean, like you said, I don't quite know how coronavirus can sort of stop this, whether it is... Maybe it's getting to that stage where they would be going for meetings and things like that and want to do things face-to-face and want to be getting signed on the dotted lines and stuff. Maybe that's the actual hold-up. But I think, you know, I'd love to get it through. I mean, it's someone that would fit the number 7 shirt straight away, which is something... I mean, it does seem mad for someone that's good enough and seems like he's got the personality to take that role. But He'd be quality.
This comes on the back of us seeing, I mean, those are in my Patreon group, and our Patreon group is really keeping us going through these times where views are down because there's nothing to cover in terms of United matches, and our sponsors have fucked off as well. So if you're interested and you want a little bit extra content and inside info, then our Patreon group is that. We've had three or four updates in there about Sancho from various sources, and the word that I was getting from friends of his from when he was in Manchester is that Manchester United is very much on the radar, very much doable, and he was almost walking around in Germany telling people that he was looking at going to Manchester United in the summer. Now, I would stop short of saying done deal, because you don't know if he's United's number one target. There may be another guy United are talking to concurrently. You don't know if there's another club he's talking to. You don't know if Dortmund just point blank refused to sell him. There's so many variables when it comes to a transfer that I think I'm always going to stop short of going, this is an absolute done deal. But there's various updates in there which do enable you to build up a picture. And Sancho's been one which, like I said, if you want some of the inside info, my Patreon group is where you'll get that sort of stuff, because I caveat it in there and say, here's what I'm hearing. And people are generally sensible in there. Whereas if you said that, like, imagine just putting stuff like that on Twitter. It'd just get absolutely tore to fucking pieces. It's a safer environment to have those sorts of discussions. But if you want that inside info, that's where you'll find it. Just Google Stephen Howson Patreon. You'll find it. That's P-A-T-R-E-O-N. Basically, last summer he was up for it, but United didn't want to pay what Dortmund wanted. Now, do we think that that's changed? Do we think that there's probably more of a desire from United to pay that fee to Dortmund? Because you got to remember, last summer, this was a guy that had only done 18 months at the top level, whereas now this is a guy that's probably done 2.5 years playing at this level. I think the risk factor is lower. I mean, do you think that would be enough, Dave? But before we get to Dave, can everyone just spam the comments for me? There's not 300 of you watching. Today's Alex's birthday. So I want to see happy birthday, Alex. Just absolutely flood the comments. Can we do that? I think we can do that, can't
Cheers,
we? Right, Dave, what do you reckon on that?
It's a great day for a birthday, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, you are the first lockdown birthday that I'm aware of, so unfucking lucky, mate. But Dave, what do you reckon?
Happy birthday, Alex. I didn't know.
Dave, what do you reckon then on the price? Do you think the price is more justifiable after a couple of years at the top level versus last in the summer?
Well, at the moment, I don't think price should be an issue. He's a player we need. You know, if the season had gone on, would we have got Champions League football? I'm still unsure. I think we could have, but it could have been a risk where we didn't get it. And I just think a player like that doesn't just put us into the Champions League level. It puts us into the top three, top two, and then you progress from that. And just look at the difference, like you were saying about Fernandes, the difference he's made, and that's a central midfield. Imagine now an attacking forward who scores goals and gets assists, but you know, in a position there where, like you said, we didn't have had anyone since really Valencia. Even when he went to a right back, we didn't have anyone in that position. He'd just be a perfect signing. And I know it sounds like I'm jumping on the bandwagon, but I have watched this lad for a long time, and when he was at City, I wanted him at United. And they were like, we were joking, saying, you know, he's good mates with Gomez. Maybe Gomez should have been better thing. But it'd just be a perfect option. I just can't see the downside with it. So why not pay him the money? Give him the wages, pay the fee for Dortmund. It's a win-win.
Was you standing next to me at the game at Carrington when he was on the bench and he came off the bench for the under-18s? And he was warming up in front of us. And I said to him, you ever fancy playing for a big club? Were you with us when we said that?
Yeah, because we were 2-0 up, weren't we? And then Callum Griffin missed that penalty.
Yeah, and then they brought him on.
They put Sancho and Diaz on, and they ended up drawing 2-2. But, yeah, I mean, that was the first time. I mean, I saw him before that, but that was the first time where I really thought, Christ, this lad's good. And another thing where it's a good thing, because he'd be playing with like Rashford and potentially Greenwood in the next couple of years if we get him. And they're going to be playing for England as well. So the experience they have for England is going to just benefit United as well. If they're playing together for one team on both, you know, and then playing for us as well, it's just going to be beneficial for us.
What do you reckon, Al? Do you reckon that's something that someone like Gareth Southgate might be looking at and going, do you know what? Greenwood down the middle, Sancho on the right, Marcus on the left. Do you reckon that's a lineup that you could see for United and England?
I reckon so. I think the international stuff is probably a big thing to why that now is the time to kind of do it. You know, he's coming to the England team and just he's not looked out of place there as well. Everyone's obviously Dortmund's you're probably playing with better players than you are when you're playing for England, but just doing it not only in the German league but doing it at the international level, smashing it in the qualifiers and stuff. And I think the other thing with the fee is that you know, last summer it was all about strengthening defence. It was sorting out the big weakness that we had. You know, we didn't have a right back. You know, we didn't have someone there. We didn't have a world class centre half. We didn't have a top centre half. We've got them sorted now. We seem settled back there. We seem like there's still work to do. You can potentially upgrade Luke Shaw. You can potentially upgrade Lindelof. But that was that. Now you can see we needed that spark in extra games. That's where we're missing now. It seems like a much simpler fix now. It seems like you can just say Sancho comes in and does that. If you added him into the team this year and didn't get a Maguire, say, you know, you're still leaking goals at the back and stuff and things like that. You know, it might not do it. And yeah, I'd love to. I mean, if you can get Sancho, Greenwood and Rashford, that would be unbelievable to have that playing. And then you add into the mix maybe a Jack Grealish. Yeah, you add into the mix there maybe a Jack Grealish as well. You know, if he comes over, he could potentially play in that 10 role or just behind them. You've got a team there. You've got Wan-Bissaka that fits into that team as well. Brennan Williams, or Luke Shaw, Harry Maguire. You've essentially got the England team. And for as much as, you know, you've seen the teams that have been successful at the international level, a lot of the time it is these lads are playing together in the big teams together. They're playing, you know, that Spain team was Barcelona with the odd player put in there. And I think that's what England want. England need a team that's got it. City aren't going to do it. City haven't got them players. Liverpool certainly don't have them players either that's going to have the English thing. It'd be great if United was that team that had that core of English players that, you know, when they come into the international team, they are just picking and choosing one or two more. It'd be unbelievable.
Yeah, no,
I'm not. By the way, there's a few rumours in the comment. I'm not quite 38 yet. Not quite 38.
Imagine being that old.
You're not quite 38. Yeah.
36. Hang on, am I? I don't even know. How old am I? Set me check my collar.
I forgot. One thing about 30, I forgot. I just didn't care anymore.
I'm just a bit off that, yeah. 27.
I'm almost sure I am. Oh, for fuck's sake. Oh, man. How are you coping with quarantine, David?
Oh, good. Just one thing I just want to say about Sancho quickly is... what I think could do, and I'm going to probably get stick for this, but De Gea, I mean, I love De Gea. I think he's been brilliant for us. But we got a lad, another English lad, Dean Henderson, who's been on fire for Sheffield. If we could get money now for De Gea and that, use that money to get Sancho in, I'd do it in a heartbeat, because I think we've still got Henderson, we've still got Romero. So why not take that risk? Because to be fair, I don't think De Gea has been that good this season, and we're still defensively quite good. We've not let that many goals in. So a shot stopper like Henderson, I think he'd do the role. And he, you know, when you've seen interviews with him for Sheffield, he's talking about, you know, what do you want to do in your career? Well, it won't be successful unless I play 500 times in Manchester United. You know, even at Sheffield, they're saying stuff like that.
Yeah.
Exactly. And so he wants to prove a point, and we don't have to pay anything for him. So if we can get money for De Gea, say like we can get 70, 80 million for De Gea, even though he's been brilliant and I love him, and we use that money to get Sancho, I'd do it.
Isn't that the issue, though? That I don't think you're going to buy it. You're not going to get that sort of money for him because he's on 400 grand a week. And unfortunately, there are better goalkeepers out there that aren't on 400 grand a week. So much like us, where we go, we could probably upgrade him or possibly upgrade him with Dean Henderson. People are looking at De Gea and going, well, we could get our own version of Dean Henderson and not have to pay him £500,000 a week. Now, I think that there's going to be a Sanchez issue with him. Moving him on is going to be a nightmare, and I think the best thing you might be able to do with him is to put an arm around him, invest in some coaching with him, get his confidence back up, work on his distribution, because I still think there's a fine goalkeeper there. And I think moving him on is going to be harder. I think moving him on is a lot harder than replacing him. I think replacing him is very easily done, but moving him on, I think it's going to be too difficult. What do you reckon, Al?
I think last summer was potentially the cash-in time for De Gea. I think before that contract came in, I think he had a couple of years left. There's still clubs sniffing around. It seems like, I mean, PSG is probably the only location for him now. You know, I think Madrid have kind of set on Courtois. They're not going to gamble on De Gea when they've got Courtois. Courtois got another couple of years left. You're not going to get too much longer out of that. Barcelona wouldn't pay the wages, and they're pretty set with, you know, to stay against quality as well. You know, there's not many clubs that, I mean, that's it. Madrid and PSG are the only two really that can afford that kind of wages, because you won't go to anywhere in England. I agree with Dave where I think that if we could cash in on him, I think we should, because I think there's a point with Dean Henderson where he goes, I need first team football. I not just need first team football. I want a home. I want a contract at somewhere. I want to be set here. It'd be great if he said, I'm happy to go and do two more years at Sheffield United and I'll come back. But I don't think he will. I think he's going to say soon, he said, look, either I'll play here or you can sell me and I'll go elsewhere. If that's the situation we're in, I think you cash it on De Gea. But, I mean, like I said, ideally, you keep De Gea for another year, another 2 years, and then Henderson come back in with bags of experience under Sheffield United. Or maybe he goes somewhere else. Maybe he tries abroad or something like that. You know, maybe that's the option, but I don't know. I think the timing is just weird with them too. I think it's a bad timing thing where you had to give De Gea that contract. You couldn't have done it last summer. It seemed ridiculous to say, let's not give De Gea that contract.
Yeah, and to gamble on Henderson last summer, people would have ripped their hair out, wouldn't they?
Yeah, I think especially with everything that went on with Ollie and the way that he let a lot of big players go, I think to go, yeah, I'm going to stick with a 21-year-old keeper that's not played in the Premier League yet. I don't think that was quite the thing to do. So, I don't know. I think it is going to be a timing thing. I think if Henderson's patient, we can be patient. Then let's do it. Let's leave it another couple of years and do it. But like you said, if someone comes in and says, right, there's 80 million quid for him, you do it now. You do it straight away and you go, right, bring Henderson in, invest that money in where we need it and move on. Because like you said, you've still got Romero as a decent backup. You know, he can almost do what, I mean, obviously, he's the best backup.
Thank you.
I mean, not even comparing him. You saw what Lindegaard did for De Gea just in his first season. You know, they were nowhere near the same level. And I'm not saying that Henderson's the same level as Romero. Like, Henderson's going to be a better keeper than Romero is. But just by the fact that when De Gea made a couple of mistakes, he got brought out, Lindegaard played a couple of games, and then De Gea got brought back in again. It just took a little bit, you know, it took a little bit of pressure off him. If you do that, if we lost Romero and now you've got Joel Pereira or one of the other young keepers as the number two in there, which is a possibility, behind Henderson, Henderson's struggling. Now what do you do? That's kind of what happened with United. I mean, Van der Haal did a great shout, but when Schmeichel left, he didn't have that. He didn't have someone safe in there to say, right, if something goes wrong, you've got someone that knows what they're doing, which I think we've still got with Romero right now.
Do you know what? A mad thought's just entered my head. I feel like as a team, sorry team, I think we're working fairly well remotely the way we're doing it. It's weird, honestly, like, you may have seen from some of the vlogs or you might just be able to tell on some of the videos that we got a team full of fucking cranks and lunatics. But it's a good laugh, innit, in the office. Like, it doesn't feel like work. It feels like a hangout most of the time. And sometimes we're incredibly productive. Sometimes we're incredibly not productive. But it does feel like a hang. I just had a weird premonition then in my head as you was talking. I'm like, you know, I know Joe did a video with David earlier today, and I know that's going to be coming out in a few days. I know you guys did one the other day, and that's going to be coming out at the weekend. And I'm just thinking, like, we're doing all right here in terms of coping with this remote work and all that lot. How weird is it going to be when we all have to go back in the office, though?
I'm just going to look forward to seeing people, I reckon, by that point. It's not even going to be, I'm not even going to care. It's just actually talking to someone else.
Yeah, face-to-face and not through Skype.
Face-to-face.
Cameron was on the toilet this morning during our team meeting. Not even kidding.
To be fair, though, like, he was probably paying more attention there than he did when he sat in the office for a team meeting.
Yeah, true. He was less interruptive. Right, we've got a question here from Harry. Which, yeah, I kicked him out because he was doing me fucking head in. If we get Sancho, does Wan-Bissaka and his defensive ability create the perfect right-hand side combo for us? What do you reckon on that, Dave? I think it really could be.
Yeah, definitely. Because I've not been critical. I've said certain things about Wan-Bissaka, not to slag him off or anything, but I think sometimes he switches off defensively. He has in the past when we first got him, because he was going forward a lot, and then when he got back, he was making his mind up and he let a couple of things go. I think he's improved a lot that way. But if he's got someone in front of him doing all the attacking work and he's got like a partner there, it's just going to benefit him, and that right-hand side is going to be immense.
Yeah, I think you're right. Have you seen that? We're going to have Spencer on a warm down in a couple of weeks. But have you seen that hashtag season's just been cancelled? So they're in the Essex Senior League, which I think is step five or step six. Very interesting in terms of how this is all going to play out, I think. But they've cancelled that season, so that season's done now. So it is going to be interesting. I think that's probably the right thing to do. And obviously, yeah, half of me is playing on the fact that Liverpool aren't going to fucking win anything if they do. I almost don't care. I almost agree with what Danny Higginbottom said. Just give them the fucking league if they want. But you need to sort of like draw a line under stuff so people can start actually planning going forward, because the not knowing kills everything, doesn't it? I mean, like, Dave, how many matches had you been to up until last week this season?
I was on 111, I think. I think 111 or something I did the season. Right. But
in how many weeks was that? About 25 weeks?
Since pre-season, we played... who did we play?
The Cardiff game.
Ballon or Christensen, you know, one of the... Oh, yeah. No, I didn't go Cardiff, I went Norway. And then the game since then. But I totally agree with you. Would it be nice if Liverpool didn't win it? Yeah. But if it means giving the title just to end the season, do it, because... What's the point? It's just progressing and progressing and progressing. We're going to play the 2021 season starting in 2021. If you look at what's happening with the Olympics and the Euro 2020, it's just getting ridiculous. If you're not going to play them in that year, get rid of them. No one knows how long this is going to last. So say like it does last 6 months. You're going to carry on this season in 6 months' time. It's ridiculous. You just got to call it a day and say, listen, this is how it is.
Yeah, and try and start next season and finish it, essentially. Because you can still finish.
The problem is relegation and Champions League spots and things like that. Maybe it's just a year. You say no one gets relegated, no one gets promoted, and I don't know what to do with the Champions League. Maybe just say, I really don't. Maybe a little playoff before it just... to see who goes into it.
I almost wouldn't be asked if they just rolled it back to what they had at the start of the season. If this season doesn't count, then all of the qualifications we had in the last completed season should count. And I know that fucks you, but I'd be all right with that, because it's a decision still. When you start arbitrarily, because then it's fair, because no one will go, well, we should be in the Champions League. Well, why should you? No, you shouldn't. But if you award it where people are now, you go, well, I haven't finished the season. That's not fair. That's not how it works. You can't just decide that's where you're going to finish. Like, someone's got a game in hand. Do you award them 3 points for that? 1 point for that? A point and a half for that? How can you quantify what they're going to do in that game in hand? Does that mean they get relegated? Because that's where it could come down to. Sheffield United could be in the Champions League and Villa could get relegated. Or not, depending on how their game in hand goes. So I think if you rolled it back to the start of the season, look, this season doesn't count, because it didn't get finished. So the last lot of qualifications you've got is that. There you go. You lot are in the Champions League. You lot are still in the Premier League. Crack on. And I think that would be the fairest way to do it. Ultimately, I think UEFA should dictate this, and FIFA. Because all the clubs around Europe are probably going to do it slightly different. And then that's not really fair. Because how does the competition make sense? Unless it's exactly as it was last year. They're all intersynced to qualify for the Champions League. So,
well, that's it as well. Like Spain and Italy, Spain, I think, have come out today and said it's suspended, it's done. I think Spain have just kind of said, nah, we're going to start. They've not said we're going to start again, but they've said it's just, we're waiting to try and give. But the problem is, like you said, like if that four teams get in the Champions League next year, what about the four teams in Spain? Is it the four teams from last year or this year? Why is that? How is that fair? Is, you know, it, for me, it just, it, I mean, it's not even a case of not wanting Liverpool to win the league. That's almost, it's an added bonus in it. It's a case of, it's the sensible thing to do in the fact that we need to start again when this all start, when this starts. And to try and cram things together and trying to do that is just, it's going to make absolute chaos. I mean, it'd be great if we could, if for example, if they could finish the season in the end, in the last month of, in June or whatever, they could smash through the season, do 9 games, do the Champions League. Be great to see all this football being played and all that, and you know, I think United to get in the top four. I think we could probably win a trophy out of it and all that. But it's not, you know, if they can't do that, if it can't finish, what's the point? It's risking people to get injured and all that kind of stuff. You know, making players play two games of, it's crazy over the Christmas period, and to do it over 6 weeks or something, to play two games a week, it's or mental, three isn't it? Games a week for. For 6 weeks is crazy. It's ridiculous. And like I said, I think,
it's what?
And I think as well.
Sorry.
Go on, mate. No, go on, mate.
Complaining then, would he? You complained about the Christmas period, all them games. If you said to him, you've got to play the rest of the season in 2 weeks.
Right, okay, let's have it. And
we're not going to get you. No, it's ridiculous. There's too many games over too short a period.
And the other thing is, what you can't do is, I don't think it's fair to just say, right, we'll just finish the league, and we'll get rid of the Europa League and the FA Cup and all those kind of things. I think that, you know, people have balanced the season. You know, Norwich are in the bottom three. Norwich are probably going to get relegated, but in the quarterfinals of the FA Cup, you know, and money wise, if they get relegated, they probably thought, do you know what, we might get relegated now. Let's put a bit of effort into the FA Cup. If we can get to Wembley, get a bit of extra revenue before we go get down. They've probably thought that through. And there'll be teams do that all over the place. There'll have been teams doing the Championship that will push for a cup run and not got into the top six. And you're like, you can't.
Yeah.
All those things. United as well. United will get to the stage in this, and we're probably getting to the stage where they're going to have to prioritise the league over the Europa League. If you cancel one of them, then the games we've lost, you know, there's something like United have lost or dropped points nine times or something after Europa League game this season, or have always dropped points after that Thursday game. So to not finish that competition that we've worked hard and done well to get through,
exactly,
is ridiculous. You have to, either everything gets finished or nothing gets finished. You have to start again.
You can't pick and choose. You've just got to have it all. Yeah, I think it all should be stopped. And UEFA as well, you're talking about UEFA got to sort this out. They've got a big deal next summer now, because obviously Euro 2020 has been moved to 2021. I mean, I think there's 9 or 10 games potentially in England and Scotland. And then the women's Euro 2021, the clashes with each other. So they've got to organise all the same thing in the same country. It's their madness, plus they'll have the Champions League final finishing just before it. They've got a massive thing to sort out, and I think they're panicking a bit, really. And they can't do anything until the Premier League says, right, that's it, until the Championship says that's it, and the French League and the German League, they all go, no, that's it. It's just, they've just got to be sensible now, and everyone's got to come together and say, no, we can't do this anymore. If, like I say, if it means giving Liverpool the league, give them. Let's just finish it.
Yeah, I almost don't give a shit. I think I've just got Fabrizio Romano's number inboxed to me. So, here we go. So I'm
here
gonna.
We go.
It's just come up. Unless it's a wrong number, but yeah, it's just popped up right in the corner there. Right, I'm gonna leave it there. I think I'm gonna try Zoom. There's a few people mentioned this as a way to talk. It does seem like it's a bit more productive. My missus does fitness classes, and she's literally been in the garden this morning with 11 people, like, doing training with her while she's been in the garden. She also beasted Jaden this morning in the garden, which was funny to watch. but she's had Zoom, and Zoom seems to work and be quite clear in that. Skype's garbage in it. So I'm gonna test out with Zoom, and I'm going to get out of here. I didn't get the drone sorted, no, but I did order a new battery. It's meant to be here tomorrow. But I don't think I can go out and shoot now, can I? I don't think I'm allowed.
Yeah, I reckon that'll get shut down, that.
Yeah, standing there in the middle of Stevenson Square, like... Yeah.
You'd be all one there, so...
Yeah, I mean, I could be on my own, but I don't think I can do it now, can I? Listen, thank you guys at home for tuning in. Thanks for subscribing. Thanks for keeping us going. Honestly, it really helps us, you guys tuning in and all the rest of that sort of stuff. Check out my Patreon as well if you want to help keep both of these channels going. As we've lost views and sponsors during this period, it'd really help us out. I guess that's all there is to say, isn't it? Cheers for tuning in. Go check Dave out on Academy Review. It's definitely worth a follow once there's actually games for him to review. And we'll be back in the morning with the news. I don't think there's a podcast tomorrow, thankfully. I need a break. but I do think there's... What's the view in the afternoon?
Hang on. Don't know, but Instagram. Go over there in the next... Oh. In the next 24 hours, we'll be doing a Q&A on there. Well, taking the questions through there. So go over at Stretford Paddock. It's Stretford Paddock without the O. Go on to Instagram. Give us a follow and make sure to get the questions in there when they come up over the next 24 hours or something like that.
We're doing a Q&A on YouTube for that. So come and check that out. We're doing a Q&A. Someone just said they really like the hat. If you like the hat, you can get it on... I think the link is in the description for everything in the merch store, so definitely go check that out. But cheers for tuning in. We'll see you guys in the next one. And I've just remembered I have to turn this off, Dota, so I'm just going to keep talking while I figure out how to do that. And we will see you guys in the next one. Laters.